Brad Stacks, good afternoon. Another one with Bra not being able to get online, saying that their online service is down. Brad Stacks, good afternoon. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon.
Right. I want to take you down whole town, get your thoughts off of politics now.
It has not been on politics all morning, believe it or not. Tell me.
You know, there's a monument erected in the whole town, which used to be called Jamestown.
Correct.
Saying that the English arrived in 1605. But according to my reading, it's not 1605. It's 1625. And it's really confusing, because when the tours operators inform the tourists what about the history about 1625, and when they pass in, they say 1605, I think that need to be, I think the date need to be put, take off of that monument, because I don't think it's correct according to all my reading and all the history books that I have seen. What is your...
Me? Are you nothing, sir.
Why are you...
Nothing. Sir, honestly, let me, so they need to check and
like
make sure that
you,
they,
you
this isn't, trust me on this one, right? There have been plaques placed on things, history, the history of the Caribbean is something that I've spent too much time, I think, just beating my head against a brick wall about. The monument in Whole Town, you would have to read the whole monument in Whole Town to find out what it is they're talking about.
The date there is clear. It said the olive blossom, the ship that arrived.
That is what I was waiting for you to get to, the olive blossom ship. Because the question is, the olive blossom supposedly came to Barbados in 1625. That's what the history books. That's what the history books say. Now, what I was trying to get away from is because I do not know what the monument, whether the monument talking about the landfall of the ship, whether it was supposed to be something else that they wrote, or whether it's just a whether it was just a misprint, if you want to put it that.
Well, I mean, if it's, I believe it's a misprint, but it's too long, because it is not good for people telling, you know, the tourists that the people here arrive in 1625, and then when they get there, because that's one of the spots, you have to tell them, well, look, there's something wrong here. That's not correct. It's incorrect. And it should be moved by now. By this time, it should be moved, because all the history books, all the historians that I have spoken to, they said it's 1625.
But you see, there was again, there was another claim that there were people here. Well, there was another one before 1625. As a matter of fact, the first settlers, I think the history books say, was 1627. There was even a night cabaret called 1627 and all that. That was at the Plantation Theater to kind of commemorate this 1627 settlement. If there is a discrepancy with the history books and the monument, then they need to be brought into alignment, is the best I could put with it, sir. Because people will take pictures of the monument, they'll take pictures of that, and...
That's one of the things. The tourists will say, well, look, no, man, there's something wrong here. This is 1605. And they may not say to the person, but they will have it in their mind.
Correct.
Another thing is that they said that I want Barbadians to understand that the English are not the first European that came to Barbados. They were the Spaniards, according to
that
history.
That too has been challenged by some, and that too has been said as well in the books. So that's one of the reasons why I said, you know, it's one of the things I stay off of. And the reason why I stay off of it is this. Depending on how you've been taught history, you either believe that what Sherlock said is right. There are others who believe what others say, right? I was told, read everything and let's have a discussion about it. That's how I was taught history. So that's why I still up to now read everything. Because there have been conflicting reports about who landed and who didn't land. and who passed and saw it from a distance, and who claimed it in the name of King this, and who actually settled it in the name of King that. Yes, sir.
Well, I thank you for...
And thank you for raising it as well, sir. I hope they
yes,
take it. I hope they pay attention to that. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. If it were possible to remove the vulnerable people, I mean, you're not going to put guns to their heads. You're going to give them a viable option. You're going to make it comfortable for them. You're going to make it attractive to protect them, to move them to an area where it is safe, away from the general populace, when we open up again and make it open soon, so you know that they are safe. Would that not be a consideration?
No, sir, because I'm sure if people said to you, I am sure, wait, okay, all right, fine. Let me tell you what, right? This conversation is ended. If I can have a conversation with you, it's done. I can talk, and you ain't gonna listen, and you can talk, and I ain't gonna listen, and that's not a conversation. I was going to say to you, if you had the decency to listen for 2 seconds, if you decide that because I am what you consider to be vulnerable to move me out, what happens when big business decide that small business vulnerable, so move them out? What happens when people who are more powerful decide that you less powerful are vulnerable, so move you out? You've raised this theory, I've answered you before. And the answer is, I don't agree with you. Have a good afternoon. 4341790. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. With reasonable men, I will reason. With humane men, I will plead. To tyrants and dictators, I give no quarter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my dear and vulnerable lady. How are you?
I thank you so much.
I will break protocol and hug and kiss you too. Good afternoon again, Roz.
Yes, thank you so much. That was the second time that he called. And it reminded me of history where people that have no works. And you can do all sorts of things with people because there was no works. That is why there is a human right. That is not a calling for. And I'm glad that you're talking because people feel up to know once you have an underlying sickness or a disability, push your arm into your boss. But it can't happen.
Correct.
Can't happen. I listened to the lady speak about the loss of jobs in the workforce. And one of it was this new corporate fitness or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There are the issues to the service. And where I am worried, one of them I'm worried about is disability in the workplace. Massive throughout the years of very good to the disabled, I congratulate them. They hire a lot of disabled persons, which I know listen to UN speakers and United Nations speak and say this covert sickness will make a lot of persons with disability and chronic disability lost their job, lost their home, and I even put them up on the streets. So that is one of the concerns with this lady person. You might tell national insurance that you can't receive it for all your life. Somebody might bring you a hamper or a basket, then can't give you it all the days of their lives. And there is still and there is 13 steps attachment issues that you have to do this, and it don't see disability or not.
No, before you move off of that, Roz, I want to share this with you, because I think it is important that people begin to understand, I mean really understand, that you have several types of disabilities. There are people who have long-lasting disabilities. There are people who have temporarily disabled. There are companies that I know, for example, there used to be a supermarket on the Harbour Road. It has changed names and ownership a few times. Yeah. That I remember going there and telling myself I will keep going there, because their checkout people were from the Anhill School. I realized that they were hearing impaired and they spoke to each other using sign language, and they were employed as checkout people. I said, good, here's a company that supports people with disabilities. I will support this company because.
Yeah.
I remember Barclays, or I think they were First Caribbean at the time, had a telephone operator who was visually impaired.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with a visually impaired person operating a telephone if they're trained to do so. And she did so very well for a while.
For
years. So there are people who have disabilities, who have jobs, who can contribute to the development, and who have done so. I mean, Kerry-Ann Ifill was president of our Senate. And Kerry-Ann worked her way through secondary school, through university, with a disability.
Yes.
There was a young lady in a wheelchair who graduated a couple of years ago in the field of medicine. And she attended the University of the West Indies at Cave Hill. Are you going to tell me that she's not going to be able to work because she's in a wheelchair? I have a problem with that. So I raise the issues of how high ATMs are, how high the checkout counters at supermarkets are, whether or not you can move the machine that you swipe your card so that someone in a wheelchair can do their grocery shopping, can wheel themselves to the cashier, can pay for their goods, and go outside without, you know, discomfort. But there are places that don't do it.
That is right, Dennis Johnson. And I hear you say people take a shot, you know, that you did that. You do not say us. You is a big guy. I support you all the way, because from day one, you was always walking with us.
And as long as I have strength, I will, Roz. I promise you that.
I know that. I know the days that you walk with me through a lot of things. And just like change comes from not sitting back. Change comes from hearing your voices, hearing you speak out, because you didn't have to do it. You speak out on anything. Okay? So then they attack you, they attack me also. My next up, medication.
Mm-hmm.
That is a big one, which you know.
Yeah.
I have a friend that one tablet, and this before now, I don't know how much you really know, one tablet a day. But yeah, and good tablets. So you can imagine how much that costs.
Yep.
I want to know if COVID, or whatever the name, I can't call these names, if people is using us to try to see where they can look. Because I know that she can't even afford it. So she can't even take it every day. Because your hunger and have a sickness that need it, and she's not looking.
I
want to know all of these things, bringing things to this new world.
Mm-hmm.
And people is not thinking about the mental psyche of people. I deal with this lady. Even it affect me when I got there. Got up there and I hear a lot of things that is happening. So the mental fatigue. I think that land is covered already. Land is done. Even the air bloody and got a lot of mental issues. And I can see it happen every day. You get sick about the luck.
Mm-hmm.
A lady got a sun up in the hot
sun. Yep.
Tear up and light off her because it can't light it off. Now she can see a letter coming that she owes $6 for the paper. That they went on. You imagine that? When she was there, standing up before there, so she can reach in, because it's only one branch is open. And you will not tell the person that the paper that they went on, you charge $6 for it, and I'm going to send it in for $6 or something. This is the thing that is happening. My last thought now, I see where there is. I guess what so see is what I can tell you. There is grief shot charges.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if the grief shot charges is still your own host or the grief shot charges. Is your aunt the sewage?
The sewage.
That is how I want to understand. The car to use the shower to the $5,000 for green shot or two. I think it's 2 years lockup or two. I can't remember exactly. I want to know, is it for your own house? Because I don't think that the household sewage. I don't know how so green shot can be ever that bad. You're the shot is in $4,000. Unless I have a restaurant or hotel that you will lose a lot of grease to go in your shot. Because you clean your shot at least every 6 months.
I will try to find that out for you. Because okay. I know there's some, depending on the business, the buildup will be rather swift and difficult. I know, but
right,
in some
right,
cases, right. It takes a long time. See, people pour oils down their sink and they take their fry, whatever they fry, and they toss it down the sink and then run water through it. And that builds up over a period of time. But that's a big figure. I'll try and find that out for you. And let's see if we could come up with it. And really, I do thank you for persevering with your calls. And I know the fight continues. It is one of the things I said, once I have strength. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I call you to tell you something about this road here so in Yorkshire. It had some very big holes before February, before the COVID started. I called the depot out, Christ Church, and I tell them about that road. Tell me they can send some stuff. COVID started, and now they didn't get a chance to come over here and put no stuff in these holes over here. Some big wells over here in this road. This road really bad, the Yorkshire Road. From the bottom down there, there's road, all the way up to the St. Patrick Church. It needs some filling in the holes.
Well, I know that over the COVID period, some of the roadworks were discontinued. I don't know if they have restarted. I think the last time Sir Charles called us, he said that they were given the all clear to restart, and I think I saw somewhere somewhere that some of the roadworks would recommence. I haven't seen it in the areas that I've traversed, but hopefully that will be one of them.
I hope so then. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Thank you as well. Someone asked me, did anyone offer to assist a lady in Black Rock to collect her medication? Well, I've passed two numbers on to the producer with people who have offered to assist with that pickup. So four. The producer tells me she's had four responses. And hopefully you've passed the information on to the lady. Thank you very much. Michelle, as I said, I've been working overtime. Yeah. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Smiling. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. We're getting something done today in the midst of it all. Person says to me, where it is. Barbados has over 32,000. Over 70 plus another 13,000 with diabetes, not including those above. So let us discard the hypertension, cancer, etc. Where could Barbados isolate 45,000? The lot of empty hotels? They only have 6,000 beds, I'm being facetious. In the Army's St. Anne's Fort, temporary hospital at the St. Lucie. So apparently there are places where us, Elios de Bajo, those people like me with chronic illnesses that should be out of the workforce, can be tossed aside in the house of refuse or refuse. Alone, unknown, and unwanted. I want that put on my tombstone when I go, please. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. How are you?
I'm all right. Are you?
I'm blessed. I was listening, and the hair rugs didn't talk about what the charge in the Hereford grease trap. I do not know. I think ever who these persons are trying to exploit her, because I don't think those are the prices. But if you don't know, you don't know. And people do that all the time. But what I want to call about, people should know. If you have a sink, you don't pour grease, and if you put grease anyway, it automatically get hurt.
Man, so you think people care about that? I tell you, I've seen it happen so often that I believe people that just do it without thinking. At least they don't know where it goes. I don't think they know where it goes until it backs up.
But my children can't do that in my sink. And our system.
That's because you tell them, right?
Yes, I teach them that good. Everybody in the honest.
Oh, good.
Because if I am not attached to the sewage, I go pay somebody that can
clean it
off the well and whatever.
Or you go do it yourself, which is a smelly job, by the way.
Right. I don't understand how to get that problem. Another thing, we shouldn't even be paying sewage because where I live, I ain't nowhere near the sewage.
That, sir, let me explain that again. That has been said that that's to help make the sewage system that currently exists upgraded so that everybody could get haunted.
I don't know when that will be, not in my lifetime.
Well, it might be in mine either, but hopefully my children will benefit from it.
Okay, if you do something, you go before the court, you are charged.
Yeah.
If the waterworks department see these people that put in things there, shouldn't they be paying the penalty the same way that we have to pay for what we do and to put it on the bills? Can't they do the same for these people too?
Well, apparently they don't know who these people are.
Apparently.
Sir, listen, let me say it to you, we do a lot of things that are to our detriment. And it's only when we get bitten that we realize it's to our detriment. Pouring grease down the sink, pouring oil down the sink is just one of them. People throw other things down their sinks as well. Bits and pieces of vegetable, rice grains from off their plate. They just throw things down the sink.
Yeah, but I like the American system. You know, you have something that you pour in the sink, and ever so
and
often
it stops.
You go chew it up.
You got to chew it up, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the liquidator.
So we need something like that or whatever.
I was going to continue and say the other thing is that the biggest, I think perhaps the one that worries me more even than the sink issue is electricity. We use frayed extension wires. We plug multiple things into things that not supposed to be having multiple things plug into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the fires that we don't know the origin, sometimes it's just carelessness. People leave things on the stove and go across by the neighbor or go outside to fix something and come back and, you know, the place on fire. Or they plug four or five different appliances in and this wire frayed and that one overheating. We do things like that. And it's our error, unfortunately. And lives are lost. And buildings get burned. And that's what happens.
Mm.
True.
Okay.
Stupidness.
It is. But with me, I have extra plug that I cover down my plug hole because I have a lot of children coming. But who belongs to me, who don't come? I have a daughter lecturer than somebody, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep my hose plug and they cannot touch them. I lay down rules in my home. But if you don't put down rules and you tell them not to do certain things, but they point them coming back. Mm-hmm. And people have, I find that today that too much parents are not really parents. They are not setting down, they are not laying down rules. And sticking to the plan. They seem to laugh and then the children say, nothing's wrong with laughing with them and playing with them. But a rule is a rule and it is law. And you shouldn't break the law because when you get, break the law, you are finding a penalty. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
but some
sir.
Some people seem to think that they don't know how to get these things done. But I like children. Children always wrong me. But they must have the proper perspective in place when it comes to our children and what they're doing. I remember some time ago, I didn't even do the child anything. It was a Sunday afternoon, I was going to church, and the little child was singing, Yes, Jesus Loved Me, and forgot a line. Mm-hmm. And I helped the child to see.
Mm-hmm.
And this parent flipped. What did they say? That you're doing with my child? I don't want you to tell she anything or whatever. Huh? And all he was doing is helping the child. In my own little way.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, she was.
Thou shalt not intervene where thou art not wanted, sir. That is in the commandment somewhere that you didn't see. Look, let me say to you that I love children too. I have a very soft spot for children. And thankfully, they love me in return. So it's mutual. Grandmothers love me and I love them too. The thing is, though, the best way of showing affection is to correct them when they're wrong. That way you save them from harm, you save them from trouble, and you've done your job as someone who claims to love. I think sometimes we don't understand that word. We just use it to get certain other favors, but we don't know what it means. So we just toss it around like we just throw the oil down the sink. Thank you for your contribution. So it certainly does put it, it certainly does put a nice little twist on the sometimes perilous waters that have sailed through today. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Mr. Johnson.
Sir.
Yeah, I just want to come in here briefly. I heard a call about the monument in St. James, Old Town.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's quite right in what he said. But my concern is that in the last couple of years, they have sort of reincarnated the landing of the first British settlers in Old Town with the Old Town Festival.
Uh-huh.
And recently they had, and I think they have painted it. But how can you paint something that's somewhat incorrect by the historians and such? Because you talk about the first landing, that will have the first people that were in Barbados will be the Arawaks and the Portuguese. Because when you talk about originally, the island was called Lost Barbados.
Lost Barbados.
And then you go on from there, you look at St. James Parish Church, which was the first church.
It's the English settlers, sir. And that's
right.
That's why I said, Jim, you know, this history and how we teach it. So we twist and turn language sometimes. And we don't appreciate what it actually says. And
as the gentleman said, as I said, 1628, when St. James Parish Church was regarded as the first Anglican church in Barbados and the first church,
mm-hmm.
then you have the William and John, when they first landed after 1625,
mm-hmm.
they then brought 80 settlers and 10 slaves in 1627. That's where you get that thing that they had a plantation 1627 and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying to you that it's quite it's erroneous to have that monument there with 1605, which has no bearings whatsoever in Barbados. And one has to be very careful in terms of why is that people like Morris Greenidge in particular, who is sort of a historian, as part of the setup for the Old Town Festival and so forth, allow that to happen because he's quite right. I don't understand why it's there. There's nothing to say that is so. And at all, because, I mean, a guy talked about Spain, but yes, no, it was the Portuguese, not Spain. And
And let me tell you, there's a reason why I said Spain, right? I pointed this out once, and again, as usual, those who keep me in line said to me that there's more than one source where you could find information.
Mm-hmm.
Wikipedia.
Well,
I know why you're laughing from now.
Why say that? Because if you go along further in the historical data, Barbados,
mm-hmm.
you talk about the first six parishes that were completed in Barbados was back in 1629.
I know. So listen to what Wikipedia said. I broke up when I read it the first time, right? And it's because my son was doing a project and he went online, and of course the first thing that pop up. But he's learned not to pick the first thing that pop up. So he called me and he showed me the different things that popped up. And it was the first time I'd seen the Wikipedia one in all my years of following history. And when I saw the Wikipedia one, I died with laughter. I said to him, fortunately, in my time, I had, you know, Encyclopedia Britannica, and I had to turn pages and things. I didn't go online. Wikipedia says, Barbados is an island country in the Lesser Antilles of the West Indies in the Caribbean region of North America. And from the time I read that, I was cracking up. So I didn't bother to read anymore because that had me so confused, I didn't know where I was, right? So when I saw that line, I just died. And
it's very interesting. It's very, very interesting. I think to hear, you know, one more thing quickly before you go, I was somewhat impressed this afternoon with the 12:30 edition of the news. Now, when I say impressed, because mm-hmm. I always advocate for some time that I believe that the Caribbean has not been able to analyze news throughout the Caribbean, within the Caribbean. I find that we find more convenient to sensationalize international news more so than Caribbean news. And mm-hmm. today, when I heard the news today, there was not one issue of the international stories in Barbados today. And I was very impressed from the top to the bottom. We dealt with Caribbean things that happened. And I must here and now offer my sincere condolences to the family of Derry Atkins. I have known Derry for quite some time. And really and truly, when I read the article since Sunday on the Starbuck News, I was somewhat taken aback. And I mean, albeit today's Wednesday, and I heard all the tributes coming out on Wednesday, I heard you mention it
on Sunday. Yes, I did.
I mentioned correct. Sunday, for sure.
Yes, I did.
And, you know, these are icons that we need to push. We don't need to push Donald Trump. Because whatever, you see, what is my concern, Dennis? Whatever the international market do, or whatever they say, we in Barbados have no say whatsoever. We are virtually paupers to the international world. We cannot tell them what to do.
And you know, so here's the thing. I mean, I made the comment some time ago that I don't like looking at television. I like reading.
Yeah.
And I got, you know, people took it as being anti-American. And yesterday I read a newscast that if I was listening to me reading the news, I would have thrown a book at the radio and knocked it off the shelf. Because the lead-in to the news... No, the lead-in to the news said, not that one, the lead-in to the news said that the Caribbean area is now the epicenter of the pandemic.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what the lead-in said.
Rubbish.
But the extract said the Americas. It suddenly went from the Caribbean to the Americas. That's what the Pan American Health Organization lady said. But then she called Brazil, Ecuador, Mexico, Argentina. None of them places are considered in the Caribbean to me.
No.
And my problem has always been, when they want to talk about drugs in the region, they suddenly bring in Puerto Rico and Ecuador and Panama and all the Latin American fringe countries where drugs travel via the land, and then use it as a basis to put warships in the Caribbean between St. Vincent, St. Lucia, Barbados, etc. Now, they do cut down the drug trade through the islands, but they use the Americas conveniently. When it's the hurricane season and damage is done for insurance purposes, Puerto Rico, Hispaniola, Cuba, Caribbean. When it comes to per capita income, they don't put in the Cayman Islands and Bermuda, and, you know, they're selective which islands suddenly become the Caribbean. But when it's time to graduate us from, you know, getting loans, they suddenly shift the goalposts again. And I'm always very cautious about how people label us and whether I repeat the labeling, because I have a rather strange way of measuring my identity. I want to thank you for your contributions on this Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. The decree is that I back to back on Wednesdays and Thursdays. So yes, I will be with you, God willing, tomorrow. John will be taking care of things technical, and hopefully I will not step on his corns and he won't have to cut me. And thank you for your contributions, whether you listened, called, or just, you know, hurled remarks at the radio in absentia. Have a good afternoon. Michelle smiles from ear to ear. Her penance for the day and the week is done.